Last item on the agenda to talk about, so just to recap, we'll go over this in intense digest, and we'll talk about it on the agenda for the next meeting. When did you want to do the light off in December? Do you have any idea?
I don't think we have a calendar.
Was it in November something? A lot of the things, and I just kind of wanted to take a couple steps back as to why I had wanted to have this discussion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that, you know, we face, in my opinion, pretty heavy-duty uphill climb each year for the last number of years in regards to the education side of the budget in general, but in the education side of the budget, specifically as it pertains to what's happening in the school system insofar as trends in enrollment and how costs have correlated or not correlated to those trends, depending upon your viewpoint. So, first of all, thank you for coming and spending some time and helping us understand it. And I just want to stress one particular thing that, you know, unless we can either A, educate the town as to what we're doing about it, or B, what we need to be doing about it that may seem a little counterintuitive, I think we're going to continue to have these budget battles. So I had a conversation with John, had sent a letter to Debbie, goes to the Board of Education, to try to set up this particular type of conversation and dialogue. So I'm glad we're having it. So what I was hopeful that you guys could do was to kind of give us a 10,000-foot view of what you see and what your, at least, thumbnail game plan is at this point. I realize the board has to have a discussion. I realize you still have to go through your process. So, and then hopefully we can kind of have a little Q&A, because I have a series of questions that I wanted to ask you. So, with that,
okay.
We have our anticipated enrollment discussion.
So I can start out by talking about the report that the board got at our last meeting, which is the October 1st numbers. And the October 1st numbers show that our enrollment from last year is down 250 students. John cautioned us that it would be difficult to make assumptions based on this report, based on everything that's going on. However, it is important to note that this is something that we had in our enrollment study that we had seen was coming, that we were going to continue to see a decline in enrollment in Chung's study, and that's in fact what we've been seeing over the last several years. I think that as we move forward, although we have been making some changes to staffing, we haven't been as aggressive as we could have been with regard to reducing staffing because the push was to keep class sizes low. And so decisions were made with regard to the staffing and the predicted class sizes for the school years and with this coming year, the board will be discussing how we're going to look at class sizes and staffing at all the different levels in order to address the idea of the declining enrollment and the budget costs. Do you want to add?
Well, yeah, I just would modify a little bit. I think it was 242, and if you do not count, and that's not counting the 20 students who were killed. So counting the 20 students who were killed is 222. I think I'd like to start with a big picture, as I probably always do. Sure. For 20 years, I stood up each year at a town meeting and basically said, here's what we need and why. Generally ended with, whatever you give us, we'll knock ourselves out spending it well, and you'll be proud of what we do. This is different. I know people want to get back to normal in Newtown, but I need to tell you that this school system is still, in my mind, going through very significant challenges. They're all not going to be answered by the CERB grant. And you really need to, I hope, understand that and convey that understanding to the public, because this isn't business as usual. Our needs are significantly different than other area school systems. And if people don't want to understand that, then I don't know how I can educate them. If people want to know, then we'll be all over the place trying to help them understand that. And I said to somebody today, you know, you don't make certain observations about your staff or about your student body off the cuff or even planned in public meetings. You really don't. So but you're going to have to make up your mind whether you're going to trust my judgment on this or you aren't going to trust my judgment on this. And I'm just telling you, this is pretty serious stuff. I see it virtually every day, displayed in many different ways within the school system. One thing which will impact us in some way is security. You understand, because you were a part of the decisions last year about security. We have a lot of dependency on the Justice Department grant, which we have not heard anything about yet. So what we've done is we've gone into our operating budget and we've postponed a lot of the things that you saw on different pages related to Geno's budgets and projects. We have a little test. Is this more important than security? So a lot of Geno's projects right now, we've cut over $740,000 in purchase orders. Some of that came from the budget freeze that we instituted last year. Some of it came from the $89,000 or $93,000 that was encumbered for the middle school asphalt significant repaving project. Some of it's come from a $30,000 grant from one of our parents. But a significant portion has come from our current technology budget and our current buildings and grounds budget. We've been told that if we get the grant, we can reimburse our budget. And if that happens, we will still have some money left over because, again, I would say close to half of that is not coming. Close to half of the $740,000 is not out of our operating budget. The rest we borrowed from ourselves within it. I can't tell you at this moment in time, we're having a variety of studies done about security. And I think one thing that we'll be engaging the town in and ourselves in the months ahead are really, what are the standards of security? Because right now, this is all very informal. Everybody thinks they know what the security commitments are that this town is undertaking, but quite frankly, they're not defined. And let me give you a concrete example. We made a decision that we're now going to school events, generally speaking, you're coming through one set of doors. Those doors, you'll be buzzed through one door, and then you'll be entered through another locked door. This has real ramifications for the use of the schools, because we've said we don't think we can maintain this security if we just say to other town organizations, well, you're using the building this Saturday or tonight, put somebody on the door and open and close the door. So we're going to be having security here, as you would find in most office buildings you would visit today that have functions going on, where people are coming in. So this is going to make a significant difference in staffing on Saturdays, on Sundays, and in the evening from our security people, because we can't spend the money to implement procedures for keeping buildings as tight as we can about who enters and leaves and then not follow that system when hundreds of people are going in at different times in the day. So that's a variable that is out there. So if you were looking for things beside enrollment which impact our budget that are sort of new, I would say security is probably my major concern. And I second totally what Debbie said. We've had discussions at the board meeting. I think we have an understanding of the level of integrity and support we have to have from the general public in order to get budgets passed. And some of us have been around long enough that we've been through this before. We went from 4,400 students in the early 80s when I came to 3,200 students. So we lost close to a third of our students. So it's not a secret about how you manage your way through this. The last year, a decision was made at the time the board adopted the budget that this was not a year to play around with class size, that from a clinical point of view, it was imperative that the kids in the school system, who frankly had a lot of their childhood removed from them last December, when they had to find a way to understand, absorb, and deal with the events that happened in our town, we felt that they needed to be in the optimum class size that the town could provide them, and that's the way the board carried on last year, and that's why you did not see some of the reductions that I think you would have seen. I think for next year, what the board has said to me is basically be aware of class size, use that as one of the things you look at. There are certain classes in this school system, and you know what one I'm talking about in particular, that will always be smaller for the next few years because of their experience last year. But there are other class sizes that will be in the normal range, the vast majority of them. The reduction in enrollment has not really hit the high school in any substantial way at all. The high school actually exceeded their enrollment projections for last year. It's probably down 20 or 30 from its high a number of years ago. And it's just beginning to work its way into the middle school. I don't think it'll have enough of an impact to do anything meaningful in the middle school next year to make any significant reduction in staff. So the reduction in staff really follows where the enrollment declines are, and that's really working their way through sixth grade at the present time. And you know, from an historical point of view, there have been enrollment reductions in other years in the system, and they were fairly consistent, but the last 2 years they haven't been. In 2009-10, there were 7.5 positions. 2010-11, there were 7.5 positions. In 2011-12, there were 5 positions. And I'm talking about classroom positions. And some of these may have been offset. Special ed is an area that has grown. There are more needs. I don't think Newtown is alone in that. And frankly, I expect special education to grow in part because of the Sandy Hook tragedy, at least a bit in the foreseeable future. And I'd be happy to speak privately with anybody who wants to flush out a little bit more about that. Last year and the year before, that really leveled off. In 2012-13, it was 1.7 positions. Last year, we put back one of the positions that I alluded to. We put back a position at the intermediate school because it really was impacting the way we were scheduling the school, and it was not very efficient, so we were losing a lot of value as far as what we could get from the kids learning by the position that we took. So I said to John, I'm not going to turn away from looking at the enrollment. I think you'll see a correlation between what our enrollment is and what our budget contains. But we need to go through a process with our staff. That's just in the beginning stages, and the leadership team, and then the Board of Ed will go through and see the results of that in mid-January and decide whether they want to put the stamp on it or want to go further or tell us we went too far. But I'm just here tonight to assure you that it's going to be a very transparent, open process for anybody. People that think the budget is too high, we'll work hard to help them understand it. People who are comfortable with the way it is, we'll work hard to help them understand it. And we'll work hard to help the public understand kinds of questions that you might want to ask. So I'll keep quiet now, John, let you get out that list of whatever you have here for us.
It's not really a question, it's more a comment that, you know, I've only known the Board of Finance for 2 years, but you say that numbers down, and that did not happen. This past year, we did do a lot about kindergarten. Judging by the last meeting we've had, I would fully anticipate that the budget is going to become a big issue again next year, and the budget will be more difficult to pass. So, understand what you say about security and trends, but perhaps there needs to be some creative thinking about how we decrease the burden. I personally recall sitting here with the security board and asking the question, how important are those guards versus infrastructure? I did not get an answer to that. I personally, if it was my money, would not be choosing the guards over the infrastructure, to be honest with you. And it distresses me to see the SIP be so light on improvements to our school infrastructure at the expense of perhaps security guards, and maybe those are very well needed this year, but I just cannot envision paying for those year in and year out at the expense of infrastructure improvements that could improve the quality of the education as well as the security of the building. So, again, I think I just would urge the board and yourself to think.
Oh, I think about it every day. It's one of the last things I think about before I go to sleep, and I want to wake up at 4 in the morning.
You know, one question for you that I think we as a board asked to the former superintendent many, many times is, we saw a lot in the budget about the Common Core standards as a reason for increasing that budget. And again, knowing what some of the private schools have done to address those Common Core standards without an increase in tuition, I just wonder whether or not we can think about combining some of those positions with another town. I don't know. I'm not an educator, but again, thinking creatively so that we can meet the needs of the children and not have to, when I hear you say you're taking from Gino's budget to pay for security guards.
No, I didn't say that.
I thought you said you were paying them in anticipation of getting the justice grant.
No, I said there were security projects that were in the Justice Department. Locks.
Okay, so it's not for the...
Right.
Video.
Okay.
We haven't taken any money from Gino's budget.
It's more of those infrastructure projects you've been mentioning.
Okay. So I think I've made much more trouble
going. You're having meetings with groups of people around town right now, isn't it, right? You're having inviting people in and talking to them about the budget and your expectations. I remember being at some of that when we were talking about setting those up.
It's a budget seminar for parents to learn about the structure of the budget. They'll be free to make any judgments, obviously, they want to make. My goal is to have them be as knowledgeable as they can about what the actual content of the budget is, so that they make a decision pro or con. They'll be able to make a substantive argument based upon an understanding of the budget.
But you're doing those now?
First one's Monday night.
Oh, it is? Okay. Are you opening those up to anyone beyond parents? What efforts are you taking to... you're going to have parental support in a lot of ways. I'm wondering if that's really who you should be trying to educate.
Well, I wish there was more than one of me to go around. I think Pat and I would both probably say that... we spend about 40, Pat's percentage is higher than mine. Mine's 45% of my day I spend on items related to Sandy Hook School, which in my mind means I'm about 45% short of time to do the job that I spent 70 hours a week doing when I was here before. There will be opportunities for members of the town in general to have budget seminars. Right now, I'm starting with parents because I think they need to understand how the budget is done, and I think everybody does. And I've said publicly I'll make efforts, but I'm just telling you, look, I've got no horse in the race here. I realize I'm an interim. I didn't come here to build my resume. That's not what I'm here for. I'm working as hard as I know how on behalf of the community right now. And there's a lot of things I'd like to be doing, but we can always do more. I wish there were 48 hours in each day.
The things that I'm involved in town, I just can't get over how 1214 impacts everything. It's amazing, you know, and I don't know if the town truly understands it or if they want to understand it. But I think, especially for our, maybe for our understanding, that needs to be clearly marked somehow in the budget so that, you know, it's almost like, you know, the roof fell in, so we have to repair the roof. I mean, this stuff has to be done. I mean, you don't need to go into personal detail, but if, in fact, you honestly think that this is a segregated item because of the activity, because of 1214, we need to be able to identify that and really explain that. Because, I mean, it's just no matter where we go every day, there's some other thing we're spending money on or spending time on. That's just unbelievable. And it's growing. It isn't even shrinking. So we really need to be positive and identify as much as you can without, confidentials.
But I don't get the sense that you're even really talking entirely about monetary things when you talk about what you're dealing with on a daily basis with 2014. Right. I mean, and I'm not sure how to address that, frankly. No. But I mean,
I guess I'm just simply saying that this did happen in the school system. I mean, this event happened in the school system, which I understand is a part of the town. But this affected not just the teachers and custodians and paras that work at Sandy Hook and the families at Sandy Hook. And you know this because it affected people that you know and yourselves among them who don't have kids in the school system. All I'm saying is there's a lot on the plate right now, and I've been careful not to allude that, to say that it's attached dollar amounts to any of it, but there may be certain programs or certain needs that we identify. We obviously are very fortunate to have the CERB grant, and the CERB grant helps us to address in some way some of the mental health aspects of this. There's a convergence of things which I think most people, frankly, in their busy lives don't really have time to think about or have time to understand, but there are a lot of state initiatives that have come here right now that impact on the time we have to spend with the staff, the pressure we have to put on the staff, and not the least of which is an evaluation system that I'm going to be optimistic about and say I hope it is as helpful as the people who have mandated it. But it's a much more comprehensive system. It's far more time demanding. I have serious doubts that we are equipped administratively to do each and every aspect of it because the state did not define any standard as to how many people one person can evaluate. Can they evaluate 40 people? Most private businesses are not going to have anybody evaluating somebody in a comprehensive way, 40 people. But that's what we're being asked to do. So we're not going to be coming in asking for new administrators. What I'm trying to just say is when some people think we ought to reduce more, I may be saying, no, we're not. Or somebody says, gee, you really don't need an administrator here, I may be saying, gee, this isn't the time that we can walk away from it. We need time in this town to digest what the real impact is. We're beginning to understand the short-term impact. What we don't know is the long-term impact, and we don't know the long-term impact on the growth of this town. I don't know what the impact is on the growth of our school system. I am sure that some people did not move into Newtown this year than other years would have. I think that's a short-term impact because I think there's so many positive things we have to offer. We probably had more people remove their children from the school system this year than typically do. And some of that was at Sandy Hook School. And I respect the decisions that some families made that given everything that's happened, they're not going to be at Sandy Hook School this year. I don't know what's going to happen when we bring the kids back and there's a brand new school. And that's why I said to the board, I wouldn't make any inferences, pro or con, about this year. It is such an atypical year, I would never want to use it as a base for inferring virtually anything about the growth of the town or the growth of the school system. And we just need to work our way through. I strongly suspect that each year will be a better year for us. But for one person, my life's changed. I mean, my life has changed forever based on what happened. And I'm still going to be a happy guy. I'm going to live a full life. But this isn't going to go away. And I think there are a lot of other people like me, and you don't have to be intimately involved in this to feel that way. And there are perhaps other people who are far more tangentially impacted than some of us have been that maybe are further down I hate to keep saying the road to recovery. I mean, you go through something like this, and we're individuals, and we relate to it differently. So I don't want to keep rambling on about it. My message to John when we had a chance to talk is, hey, I'm glad to have a chance to work with John and you folks again. I only have worked with the Board of Finance, I think, for about a half of a year or so before I left. You guys were coming in as an institution, and I was leaving, and we'll work as hard as we can to earn your respect and the respect of the town. And will we agree on 100% as far as we should have done this or that? Probably not, but I hope we're going to come pretty close.
If I could just say, I mean, you say you don't want to ramble on. I mean, it seems just to me, you're in the system every day, all day, and maybe you need to ramble on. Maybe you need to talk to us and talk to other people in town more about some of the non-monetary aspects that you're talking about that ultimately may frame some of the monetary decisions that have to be made. So frankly, I mean, you're obviously pained. We all are, understandably, but I would encourage you, frankly, to keep, it's not my only, I would encourage you to keep talking.
John's looking over at you. And Harry's nosy saying.
We've experienced some.
Yes.
Herein lies the reason why I wanted to have this kind of dialogue.
I just wanted to extend a little bit of what John said in response to Jim's initial response to the fact that that both John and I we know the challenges that we have ahead of us regarding budget development. We also know the challenges that we're facing on a daily basis, how to address those needs while managing what I call the after effects, the aftermath of the Sandy Hook event. I think about 60% of our time is spent on a daily basis managing something related to that event. That other time we have to find somewhere. And we work very well together in trying to cover each other as much as we can and figuring out how we can step in where the other person might be faltering. But but we're going to need some help, frankly. I mean, I would like to spend more time with the seniors and really reach out to them so they also understand the budget development and design purpose and concepts like the necessity of investing in our community and our commitment to growth and the importance of looking at that balance. But I struggle with where is that, how am I going to do that given the other challenges that I'm facing. So, we're going to have to call on other people for help. For the first time, I'm looking at the next couple of months with some real trepidation, thinking, all right, I'm already doing the Saturday and Sunday thing. I'm already here many hours every day. How can I add another big piece to it? I'm going to need some help, finding ways to reach out to populations, to help engage them better, help them
understand the process, the development. What we found all the years I've been doing this, you know, the five budgets I've developed, is that I'm stunned sometimes at how little people understand it or what they don't know. So that we find ourselves scrambling in March and April trying to educate people about the budget when we've been talking about it for 5 months. So get your people in the process earlier, but I frankly don't know how to do that, and I'm a little fearful that I'm not going to be able to manage that alone.
I think Pat and I have both said, really probably prior to the tragedy that we've alluded to tonight, that we'll go anywhere. I mean, if you tell me four people are going to be in somebody's house and they want to call up and say, I'd like to set up a time that John said he'd come out, I'll come out. I mean, there's not going to be any shortage of effort to interact with anybody who wants to learn about the school system. I'm everybody's superintendent of schools, whether they have kids in the school system or they don't have kids in the school system. And everybody is entitled to ask questions, and we'll try to answer them as best we can. But I also think a budget is a definition of values, and that's what you're going to be conflicted with, because you're going to be hearing from different parties about their version of values. And all I really was trying to say at the beginning was, don't let the reality of what happened in December be lost in those discussions.
I don't want to keep this much longer, but I do want to ask a couple of questions, John, just so I can wrap my head around some specifics. And I just want to preface my questions by saying that there's a little bit of a method to my madness, although they may seem pointed. But the bottom line here is that I agree with everything that you're saying, okay? And what Pat is saying, we all see it as part of the board, and we get that part. But there's a structural problem, as I see it, because as quick as and awful as what we've been through was, shortly thereafter we had a referendum when, in my personal opinion, I would have thought that people would have been more understanding, more willing to accept whatever was needed as being that's what we needed. But that's not what happened. And that's the reason why I've always wanted to have this kind of dialogue, because that's growing. And the letter that I sent to Debbie was in April after that first failed referendum, because it really kind of hit me in the ton of bricks. But after all of that, the budget still failed, and failed by the second largest that I can remember in my time, since I think 2007. So everything that you're saying, I get. But it still doesn't solve that problem. So my reason for wanting to have this dialogue is to try to be able to do that. Now, I'm going to guess that the group that you were referring to, Jim, in regards to the budget and the workshops and all this other stuff, that's going to be a certain constituency, if you will. Okay. I'm also going to hazard to guess that that constituency is probably not the ones that are voting against the budget. Just a guess. I could be dead wrong. So my point is,
I don't know. There's 60 people. I don't. If the majority of our parents voted in favor of the budget every time, we'd never lose a referendum.
Well,
so obviously they don't.
You're actually providing the segue that I wanted to get to, okay. Which is, I think that's probably more colored with those that might. But I also think that a big part of that is also one of the issues. Okay, it's not just a certain demographic. So.
Right.
I'm hopeful that we can continue these conversations and have this kind of dialogue. Just a couple quick questions. I want to start backwards. You mentioned before that security is an issue. It remains an issue in a host of different ways. Does that mean that what the town provided for in security in this last budget go-around is not satisfactory?
No. To me, it means that there were no decisions made about a long-term commitment because you put your money in the contingency. That's my own bias, the way I looked at it.
But that's absolutely wrong, John. The reason the money went in contingency is because if we were successful in receiving the grant, we would not have been able to use it if we built positions in the budget. Because there's the concept of supplanting versus supplementing is real. So it's a federal grant, and if we got it, we would not have been able to supplant money that was in the budget built around positions. Right. So we knew that at the outset.
Okay, but whatever the reason, when you begin your budget development this year, if you remove the question of contingency, both in the Board of Ed budget, and I'll not speak about the Board of Selectmen's budget, I don't see that decisions were made in the town to allocate additional resources to some areas of security from a building point of view. There was $214,000 or whatever that was in the Board of Ed budget for extra security officers, which I don't see going away at any time in the near future.
John, this could be labeled epiphany number one.
Right.
Okay, I don't know that I understand what you're saying.
Right.
Because quite frankly, the contingency money had nothing to do with the Board of Education budget, as I understood it. It had to do with things that fell under the auspices of the town's control. I specifically recall asking a question as to the Board of Ed's budget separate, which is the basis of my question, because he referred to Saturdays and Sundays, according to my notes, and opening doors and
right.
making sure stuff was locked up and single entries and all that stuff.
Right.
My question was that when the Board of Ed came to ask us for security guards, there was a substantial amount of debate as to how much and what they would look like.
Right.
We did not know. But I know one thing that we did is that we supplied what was asked for.
Right.
So, and that's on your side, but has nothing to do with contingency, as I understand it. So my question to you is really simple.
Right.
What we had done or what the Board of Ed had asked for, and in turn could be an additional cost going forward, which is kind of what I'm getting at. And if so, that's a good thing to know. Is there enough now? Because contingency has nothing to do with the security issues on the Board of Ed side.
The answer, John, is I don't think we know because we don't know if we're getting any relief from the grant. I mean, part of what I'm saying is a great deal of dependency when the question would have been asked to the board, they would have been told by their administrative team that we put together a grant that, for example, had in it $700,000 for building hardening activities, very similar to what we've spent without it. I think it would have been very difficult to open the school system and look the staff and community in the eye and say, surrounding towns have done this, this, and this, and we've done nothing. So we decided we're not going to wait for the grant. I think, frankly, it was an appropriate decision. I think the board feels that. And we're prepared to live with the consequences of it. And if we get the grant, the consequences will be minimal. But starting over, there's no basis. It's just like technology, if I could compare it to. If you reach a certain level of funding in your operating budget, you can get away from asking for increases from technology from year to year because you've got an amount of money that will support the total cost of ownership cost. But it's when you have the technology goes down to virtually a very small amount 1 year, and then you know that means 3 years from now it's going to be up. And I don't like that kind of budgeting myself. I'd like to get the core in an operating budget. And so all I'm saying is I think security is a challenge. I'm not criticizing anybody's decision. You put these budgets together in January and February and early March, and I don't think there were many answers. We don't know what our next phase of security is.
Well, that's why I asked the question. Right. And my only point is that you know, that could obviously be an educational
right.
Piece for sure. All of us, and in fact, that's the case. One of the other questions I had for you, John, and this really gets to do right. with what filters out in the public and what their understanding is, and in turn, an understanding of what the district's trying to accomplish. And this is about enrollment
right.
figures.
Right.
Okay. Not too long ago, there was a number that came out of the district that was about 80 insofar as a decline in enrollment. Fast forward to the last Board of Ed meeting when you had the actual handout, it was 249 or 250 or whatever it was.
There are different numbers. The 80 was what we thought we were going to be below the already projected decline.
Okay.
And they were some very quick verbal remarks to give the board a quick thought, and so that's
okay.
that difference.
Can you explain to me one simple thing?
Sure.
The document that you handed out at the Board of Ed meeting that was online with the B, I was always under the impression that you had to submit your enrollment numbers in October, and that's when the enrollment data would be available. Yet that report is marked unofficial.
Right.
Is it official? What's official? When does it become official?
Well, I think that because, and you know, I don't know the date it actually is due into the state. It's backdated, but sometimes there's a mistake made, and that's one or two people. We may miss somebody who's outplaced. We may have missed somebody who just started at another place we pay. The change would be insignificant, and that's why Ron puts on official on it. So I think it's because he knows that within the month there may be a change of one or two students because we found an error in how it was reported to us from the different schools.
Okay. In regards to that particular handout that you had, which was actually very detailed, if I read that correctly, there was a host of different additional pieces of information that I couldn't recall seeing in an old enrollment report, like what happened to some of these kids.
Right.
Is that new?
I guess it is if nobody's seen it before.
Well, the reason why I'm asking is because I think I heard you allude to before, and it's a very valid point, of the total uniqueness of this past year. But that report seems to indicate where people went.
Right.
And did they go to prep? Did they move out of town? Whatever the case is. And I was just curious if the district annually has that level of data. Do we know that answer?
I don't think we do to that degree. I think I asked for it this year because of the special circumstances when I was trying to understand it myself.
Because I'm curious as to whether or not...
I think we can do that every year.
Well, I think it would be helpful because if there's this notion that, you know, people are leaving because of X or Y or Z, you know, that data seemed to be pretty helpful, and I was just curious if we had it in the past. I'd be curious to see if there's any correlation there. Because we could prove and or disprove certain assumptions that may or may not be made.
Right. Well, at least we have a good baseline data for this year to build on.
Actually, about 3 years ago, I asked Janet Levinson to work with school administrators to do that in-migration data so that we would better understand the trends and patterns of movement. And that was really around, that came to be because we were hearing from realtors that there were a number of renters. We had been using a lot of the housing sales as one of the indicators of growth in the community, but somehow that wasn't giving us good information. And realtors were telling us a lot of houses that are being rented and that those families have kids, and that's accounted for some of the mobility from elementary school to elementary school, as these families, many families, were moving from section to section in town. So that was the core of the need to kind of get a handle on that. So my understanding is that Dr. Robinson worked with the administrators to get more clarity on that data and really document when a family or students were leaving the school, where were they going, why were they leaving, you know, that kind of thing. So hopefully there's a richness of data available for all of that.
You have mentioned, John, that you don't think now is a good time to do an enrollment study.
Yeah.
Okay. Did we have to do one or update one for the Sandy Hook School? I thought there was dialogue at one point when we were kind of hashing out the process. We didn't have to do that? Okay. Can I ask you a simple question?
Sure.
Why would you want to wait?
Because,
do you think it's going to be any better next year?
Well, there's two things which determine generally an enrollment study, and that's your in and out migration of the previous 5 years or 3 years. And when there's a significant change, as I think there's been with enrollment patterns, I would opt for 3 years. So you're looking at this year being one third of the basis you're going to be making an inference from, and the other is birth rates, which frankly are impacted by the economy. If the economy gets better in any aggressive way, the birth rates will go up. So I think a year from now, we have another year's data. We open school next year. I think it'd be an appropriate time to do a five-year projection thing. We're not gonna use Chung's enrollment with a budget. We're gonna do our own both. I always forget the statistical thing, but we know how to do it, and we're using the actual enrollment and looking at the in and out migrations, and I think it'll be a better, I think it'll be more accurate than Chung's was, because that's a while ago. So I feel pretty comfortable with at least our year-to-year forecasts that we'll use in the budget, and I would think maybe next year we would do it. And by the way, I did call one of the leading places that does school enrollment demographic work and discuss Newtown's situation with them, and I think I mentioned this to the committee of 28. Their lead consultant clearly told me that he would feel it would be a mistake for Newtown to do an enrollment study during the last few months.
Okay, you don't like Chung's numbers?
I think they're too. It's too long ago. He came in at just the beginning of the enrollment decline, and I think we can do a better job looking at the actual numbers and looking at the last 3 years' trend of what in and out, and that's
what
we've done.
Has anybody tracked how he's correlated his projections versus what actually has transpired?
Oh, I'm sure they are. I mean, I can tell you. I mean, he was. We're 112 below his projection for this year, and we use the middle projection. But again, and I feel terrible saying it, but if the 20 students who were killed that day are removed from that, then it's 92 that he was off, and I think that would be the fair thing to do with his numbers. So his what we built the budget on last year was off by 92 students. And here's an interesting one for you. On Chung's numbers, 67 of those students, excluding the tragedy, 67 of them are from Sandy Hook. So Chung's numbers for Sandy Hook, excluding the tragedy, but nothing taking that into consideration, his Sandy Hook numbers account for 72.8% of the number he was off by. And that's what gets to be interesting. Can you look at that and say, wow, if almost three-quarters of 75% of the 92 students he was off are accounted for just from Sandy Hook, he was really quite close at Middlegate and the high school and the others. So that's why it's a very tricky thing. I would expect the Sandy Hook situation would resolve itself. You know, some people just don't want to take their kids to Monroe.
Was he off on the high side?
No, he was off on off on the high side. This is high side.
Interestingly, though, if you look at the district overall, right, and actually if you compare, actually Debbie indicated in the last year in the budget hearings that they didn't take into the account the difference projection. It was 552.09 students for the previous year when the actual number was 5129, and there was a difference of 80, and that was actually left out in the presentation that you gave. And if you actually add that back in, it would have projected 4944, and I think we're now 4951, so ironically, it's pretty darn close.
Yeah.
And one could infer, which is leading to my question, one overall, which is really the big issue,
right,
okay? And one could infer that he's actually on the high side, which would paint an actually more more drastic trend. So here's a couple of questions on that. First, has there ever been any experience, because even excluding the tragedy,
right,
this particular year is a drastically large year in my opinion, right, for whatever reason. But whatever that reason is, it's going to have a statistical influence on the system from here going forward.
Right.
Has the board had any dialogue about that impact or what that might mean? None? Okay. So the second question that I would ask is the space needs study had actually focused on a particular number, and when we dropped below that number, that was going to trigger a series of dialogues about schools and space. Have we triggered that number?
I don't know whether we have or not.
I think we have. So my question is
we're about 750 kids or something off
of
our high.
I think it was
1,500. Well, we're about 750 kids off of our high enrollment.
Okay. The question that I wanted to ask is there ever been any experience, or has the board ever looked into a district that had the type of declines that we've had and the long-term impact of those declines?
No.
You know, I'm not sure, because this is a new kind of decline, John. I mean, all of New England is in a decline.
I completely understand that. And New England and demographic trends and everything lend itself to the average taxpayer's question, what the hell are we doing about it?
Right.
So what I would like to understand is, and I heard a lot about security, I get all of that, but at the end of the day, we had all of that. Two of the last 3 years, this body passed on to the council and in turn passed on to the town what the Board of Education asked for, and it failed miserably.
Right.
And then we had last year, and it was problematic.
I'd be careful making assumptions about why it failed miserably, John. I mean,
I don't know that I made an assumption.
Well,
I'm making an opinion. I'm finished. I'm just making an observation, okay? My point is that it's hard for us to get it passed. And I think one of those reasons is because the people are asking this question. So I'm asking you, how do we explain that, and what are we doing about it?
Well, I think what we're doing about it is simple. I think you'll see positions that are eliminated which reflect the enrollment decline.
And will you be able to correlate those two?
You can't do it. You know, if they all came in one grade level in one school, I mean, there is a sort of a, you've got 13 grades over 7 schools, and if you have all your enrollment consolidated, or if we had a different organizational pattern where all the first grades were in one school, it's easier to consolidate. You reach a point with 3 classes on grade level, you begin contemplating going from 3 to 2, and you've got 60 kids. Well, you're either going to open with 20 in a class or you're going to open with 30 in a class. This town's not going to open with 30 in a class. We'll try very hard, John, but I hope everybody keeps in mind simplistic analysis of enrollment can be very harmful, because simplistic analysis are very appealing to people. And if people keep talking long enough about, well, there's nothing been done, or the board or the school district isn't, certainly we all understand the elephant in the room is at some point in time, and I think it would be a mistake, because you can go to Lower Fairfield County where they closed schools, some communities sold off schools, then they ended up having to buy back schools. And that was in the last enrollment decline. So there will come a time, and I think we have a year or so to say this is going to be the exact year, where we don't want to make a decision about closing a part of a school or a school and offering it to the town and having it converted to a new police station or whatever, and then tell the town 5 years later, well, you know, we have a boom economy, the birth rates are up, we've got to give you notice, we need that school back. So it's easy to just talk in general about creating extra space and what you're going to do with it. I think the key thing is to be able to make a decision that you've got some confidence that's sustainable, that you're just not doing something for a couple of years, and you've heard people speculating about, well, let's close one school or a wing of the school because it's cheaper to open. I understand that at first blush that's not a bad discussion. I'm not going to be here to take part in the discussion, so you'll have to listen to my wisdom now. When we cut to this point, if we do, so we're either going to need the space or we're going to have extra space. It's going to be that simple. If we have extra space, all options should be on the table, including selling off property, including getting rid of the middle school, making a commercial development out of it, joining it with what used to be Lexington Gardens. I'm not recommending it. I don't even know if it will be good. But the folly to me is for people to begin to speculate, oh, it's going to be this school or it's going to be that school. You really have to do some very serious thinking. And you also have to say, to what degree are you going to consider educational logic in what you do? And so I'll just leave it at that. If I were staying, it would be a discussion I'd look forward to having, because I think it would be great for the town, because it's a win-win. If we need the space, we're in great shape. If we're in a position where we can say to the town, let's look at the capital improvement plan, and there may be some need here that can be filled, that's fine. When you close a school, I mean, there have been a number of studies that, and I'm not going to go to my bookshelf and pull them off, but if you make one school larger, I can tell you the administrator's probably going, the librarian's probably going, the nurse may be going half-time. You're really going to end up saving the energy costs that are associated with that building, and you'll probably save some. But I will tell you, for people who think they have this understanding of what you really save by closing a school and moving kids elsewhere, I think that needs some more study and flushing out, because I think the ordinary person really overestimates the impact of that.
Well, I'm actually starting a little bit more simpler, and it's right. It's what is the district going to be recommending?
It's too soon.
What?
It's too soon to answer that question, I think. Because I don't think anybody knows. Until we know what the impact, are we going to have our fair share of people moving into Newtown at similar rates as Brookfield and Bethel and Region 15? Until we know the answer to that, I don't know how anybody can make assumptions about what the long term, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, is going to be for school space.
Come this January.
Yeah.
I think the town needs to understand what the district's plan is to address and or support what it is that you're going to be asking for, specifically as it relates to enrollment. And you know, I hear everything that you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a question that we asked actually in this room 3 years ago, and I think it remains problematic. I think it's becoming exponentially problematic with what's going on.
Well, if you set the stage for that, John, and you tell the community that's the expectation, I hope you really think about that. January is in 2 months.
I asked a question that wasn't answered 3 years ago, John. We continue to ask it each
year. I wasn't here 3 years ago.
I get it, but I'm asking you now.
Yeah.
So,
but I don't think there's any way you can have an intelligent, well-thought-out decision answer. Now, if you want to know when the board's going to do a population study, fine, that can be answered. But we don't have the right information to make a decision this January about what we're going to be doing 2 or 3 years from now about a school. I think it's
again,
premature.
I'm speaking specifically about the budget and the needs, the dollars and cents needs and the justification for what the district's going to look like next year.
Right.
Because I think that's where we have to start.
Right.
And I think the question remains in a lot of people's minds, and I'm hopeful that at some point we can start to dig into that, because I'm not quite sure we're doing that yet. And it's here, it's now, it's in front of us, and it's a big issue.
Well,
so
all I can tell you is we're digging into it. We're not digging into it about what school's going to be closed.
I'm talking about what is staff, what is the budget going to look like?
Well, that's what we're doing.
When we present it to the Board of Finance in March and April.
That's exactly the kind of conversation that we're having internally within the school system. But, you know, we've got to go out. We've got I don't want to in any way, I want to honor all constituents and anybody who's upset or offended or angry. I think that's all a part of democracy. But I also think there are constituents who aren't organized, who haven't been given a super motivation in the form of an unusual assessment to get concerned and organized. And I just personally, we could turn it around. You know, you mentioned the budget referendums last year. Well, I know it went 3 times, but that was one of the largest margins of victory on the 3rd referendum. And it wasn't because a lot of things changed in the totals there. I mean, there was a change, but it wasn't a night and day change. So I can't, as someone who may be leading the discussion to get the budget passed, I can't sit here and sort of buy into a negative expectation, because then I don't know how, I do what my job has to do. So I've got to assume that we're going to go out, we're going to be available, we're going to be transparent, that you're going to be pleased. You may say, gee, I wish you would have gone a little further. I hope we're going to be hearing, hey, we think that's a pretty realistic job you did with the budget. Because make no mistake about it, the questions, the tone of the questions, have a lot to do with the general public's expectation about the budget. So you can vote for a budget and think you're saying one thing, but the questions and how they're asked also can say another thing. So when it comes to why budgets fail and the environment of this town and how people feel about each other, I think it all goes together. Whether somebody is against the Board of Ed or thinks we spend too much, I'm ready to give them a big hug. And if we have an argument, when we separate, and I see the person the next day in the supermarket, I'm going to give them a big wave. I'm not going to be getting, that's just not the way I operate. And it's not my vision for Newtown. And I do worry. I just talked to the kids at the Honor Society today, and I only had 3 minutes. And I said, you know, leadership in this country today, and I'm not talking about Newtown. I'm talking about the leadership I see on TV. Leaders seem more interested in their own opinions. They don't seem very good at listening to opinions of others. And there aren't enough people worrying about, in my mind, the commonality that brings us together. I understand the impact of the Board of Ed budget on unifying the town to the greatest degree possible. If there are people in town who really the goal is to get the funding budgets reduced by $2 or $3 million, I'm not going to have much luck talking to them. If there's somebody who wants to say, hey, you brought in a pretty conservative budget, I look forward to talking to them, and I'm quite confident that they'll go away at least saying they gave it an effort.
Hugs and waves are wonderful.
You want one after the meeting?
No, I'm just saying there's also got to be, you know, part and parcel to that, an explanation and understanding so that people know and can say, okay, I get it, they're trying.
Right. And I think that that's, I'm trying very hard to be professional here in terms of educators. And you be the judge of whether you thought those explanations were plentiful the last few years.
Is the board planning to have a dialogue about the direction of the budget? Prior?
Yes.
Okay, when is that?
At our next meeting, we'll be discussing the budget goals.
Anybody else? John, thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Appreciate it.
Well, I enjoy being with you. You may not always know it, but I get a kick out of it. Listen, I wouldn't want your jobs. I get that. And listen, one of the other things that I didn't begin, and I'll turn this off, but a question that I would have is if the board makes really tough decisions, and you, because I can understand somebody says, well, wait a minute, you passed on a budget that was up X percent last year. I mean, I've seen the feedback from the focus groups for the new superintendency. So I know some comments that were made about, gee, we got over a 6% budget last year. How was that reasonable? And okay, let's go hypothetically that the board makes a lot of tough decisions. Is the Legislative Council, the Board of Finance, because of the unique budget year we have here and all the concern and angst, are you going to feel pressure to still reduce the budget?
John,
I know you passed the budget the last 2 years without reducing.
I'm quite confident that this board every year has done what it's thought is best and hasn't gone into it with the supposition that it should be a little bit more, a little bit less. There's clearly been differences of opinion,
right,
but it has been a democratic process, and
right,
I think we always put forward the budget that collectively we think is best.
I know.
We try to support those things, and what I'm trying to articulate to you tonight is that I think we've got some significant challenges ahead of us. I really do, and I think that one of the easiest ways to address those challenges is to educate and embrace that side of the equation that we don't normally see or hear at budget time. But they're clearly there, and they're clearly getting more motivated, and who knows what that cross section is, if it any, you know, what percentage it includes of them in our past failures. I'm trying to be positive here and give them something to hang on to, and I'm quite confident that we're not going to convince 500 of them, but you know, if we can start with 53, I think that's what we failed last time, that would be a great first step.
And I hope we do it.